Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I got another incredible show for you today. You guys are getting two for the price of one. This free podcast is getting even more outstanding today because I have two incredible women on the show with me this week. First, coming back, and I'm going to introduce her first because she hasn't been on in like 8 weeks, where the other person has been on like every week the last couple weeks. But that's Artemis Scanalides, who is now moving to beautiful and family-friendly Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
It is. It is family-friendly now, right?
There's something for everyone.
You're right. That's perfectly put. If you want to, you know, have a great night out, you can always go to the TGI Fridays and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's good.
Aren't there like child-friendly shows too? There have to be. There have to be like some. I don't.
I mean, so I think they use like pasties in some of the shows. So I guess that's pretty close to being, you know, kid-friendly.
Yeah.
Solid joke to start this one off, Kev. Great job. So, all right, the other person, I'm sorry, Artemis, I really screwed up that introduction for you, but we're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep going because we just like to keep it, you know, really original and fresh here. But the other person is back. Maybe it's like the third time in maybe 6 or 7 weeks by the time that this comes out. And that is, of course, Dr. Lisa Lewis. Lisa, how are you?
Hey, I'm fabulous. Thank you. Glad to be back.
Well, we got a gigantic show for you guys today, and you guys obviously heard Julia last week, and in the meantime, we kept Artemis and Lisa in a soundproof booth. Julia was able to get 112 points on the board. You guys need to get another 88 to be able to win the $10,000. We're going to ask you five questions. If you hear this sound, beep, beep, sure to use that answer, and I'm going to have to ask you to answer again, okay? Does that all make sense?
Okay. Yes,
I guess so.
Right. Well, I just figured.
What's that show? Is it with Steve Harvey? What's his show?
It's Family Feud.
We're on Family Feud right now. Yes.
Yeah, you're on Family.
I see.
We're on Fitness Feud.
Yeah. So you guys, I was trying to be a little bit more creative with the way that we're doing this because we are kind of doing like it is one gigantic 2-hour super show, you know, with three of you, and it's just kind of like I thought it'd be fun if I did that, and now explaining it makes it even better, right? So. Now we're going to get into the questions, but again, like I said, if you didn't already, go back and listen to the episode with Julia because she was badass, she was awesome, and it had been 3 years since I last talked to her, which was excruciatingly long, far too long in times talking to her. Definitely be having her back on again, but the three of you guys are putting together an incredible event at the Arizona Grand Resort, which as soon as I saw that, and I saw that the three of you were involved, I knew this was going to be like the event of the year. Like this is going to be the showstopper that people are going to need a top for 2017 because
yeah.
You got three great presenters. Plus you have one of the best places to go. Like I've been there three times for like seminars and summits and stuff. Like that is an incredible resort for people to do events. And they got a great like Olympic lifting, you know, facility in there. So you can do like Olympic lifting stuff.
Awesome.
And you guys, again, have, what is it until November 30th? You have early bird registration for it?
Yep.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. There's 26 spots left right now. So we're opening up to 30 people. So we had some people grab spots right away when we first opened up registration. And now people have until November 30th for the early bird. And it's almost an all-inclusive, which is the price includes the rooms and a lot of the meals and plus the workshop. So we were able to, like, get it for, you know, get everything together for a pretty good rate. So We're really excited. And I'm heading out to Arizona next week for there's a conference at the Arizona Grand at the Active Lab, at David Jack's Active Lab, which is where we're going to have the lifting parts of the retreat. And so I'll be there next week checking it out, going to this conference that David Jack has every year. It's called Activate. And so I'll be able to do a little preview, hopefully, on social media from the resort so people can kind of check it out. And I'm excited to just do a tour of the facility and see the Active Lab in person and everything. So
awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the maybe the best way, and this is how I kind of like directed other people to it, but just go to Iron Body Artemis, or excuse me, IronBodyByArtemis.com and then go to the upcoming workshops tab at the top. Scroll down and then you'll get to the I Am Not Afraid to Lift the Retreat. It's like this is the Fast and Furious 6 of the I'm Not Afraid to Lift series, yes. which is like now you guys are also bringing in more cast members. The stakes are that much bigger. It's going to be an even better event. But before we get into that, and the cool thing about having you guys both on the show is that I can also talk about some of the previous stuff that you guys have done together. And I'm kind of curious to start off about the backstory, but behind how you guys got connected with each other. Artemis, I don't know if you could start by talking a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. It was last spring, Tony Gentlecore sent me an email and he just threw this idea out there about having Lisa present as a guest presenter at one of my lift workshops, because that's Lisa's area of expertise is mindset. And she works with a lot of athletes and musicians and helping to build strong mindset. And that's even though lift is about learning how to lift, but it's also, there is a huge mindset component too. And when I got the email, it was like, you know, he's like, what do you think of this idea? Let me know. And I think my head exploded as I was reading that, like in a good way. I was like, oh my God, why did I think of that? And I like immediately got back to him. I'm like, yes, of course, yes. And so it was a no-brainer. It was just a no-brainer to have Lisa join. And it's been like every time, you know, and Lisa can contribute, you know, she can share her opinion too. But I just think that every time we've done one, it's just gotten a little bit better. We've refined it a little bit more and just keeps getting better and better. And it's just added a lot more depth to the workshop to be able to have Lisa on board with her expertise and her background. It's been great. So, and then for me, I think like personally, like Lisa, you balance me. Like there's this one thing that Lisa always says that I love, and the way Lisa looks at everything is like, it's information. You have to look at, you know, whatever people say to you is information or whatever, you know, anytime we've gotten, you know, feedback on an eval, it's like information, just look at it at, you know, objectively as information and analyze it. And how can you use it best? And, you know, cause I sometimes can be sensitive and I can take things personally. And I think that like, that's just been such a great learning piece for me to work with Lisa. Just, I have to remember it's information. It just helps to keep me at an even keel and keep me balanced and not take things so personally. And it's helped me to just work better. So that's been really cool too, as a professional.
Lisa, what's it been like to really, I mean, we might've discussed this a little bit in one of the previous talks that we had, but to be able to really like become a major part of this fitness community that we have. And I know you've really experienced it a lot in the past. I mean, Tony has been doing, you know, a lot of events and just, you know, being able to talk to a lot of people in the industry. But, you know, now, like, you are one of the go-tos for dealing with the mental side of all this stuff, the psychology of what we're trying to do as coaches. What has it been like to become like this deep and involved with it?
It is a dream come true. And I don't mean that as a euphemism or as an expression. From a very early age, I really love the psychological component of competition and self-improvement and athleticism. And I always had this kind of idea in my mind about how psychological factors like play into how strong we are in life and how we approach problems. And I always loved playing sports and being involved in training. And so as I got older and then I found out about the field of sports psychology, I kind of, in a way, felt like I was the only one who felt this way or thought about this kind of stuff. And then as I pursued the degree in sports psychology, I saw that, like, you know, some people really just kind of wanted to work with teams, or some people just wanted to really improve performance in a competitive sport. And I felt differently about it. I was so enthusiastic about like motivation and what drives people and what pushes people to self-improve. And again, it felt like it was my jam and maybe not something other people get jazzed about. So to have all of this like interest and just have something that I feel so passionately about and that makes me so happy, and to be able to communicate with other people who are also enthusiastic about that and who also care about that and think about that and want to know how to develop in those ways. It's like the ultimate satisfaction. And it's so energizing. And it just feels like it's an abyss of ways to think about improvement and ways to think about self-development. And I just can't say enough about how exciting it has been. And every opportunity that comes up, I kind of have to remind myself, like, this is real. You know, people really, other people besides me care about this and are interested in this and want to talk about this. And it really doesn't stop being exciting and just really, really gratifying, I think, as a professional. I spent a lot of years in school or in work situations that were not fabulous, were not exactly where I needed to be, but because of needing to do internships or needing to take classes or needing to jump through hoops, I just did a lot of stuff that I really wasn't jazzed about. So to get to this place and to reap the benefits of all that hard work is just like the ultimate satisfaction.
Well, and this is an area in this industry that a lot of coaches struggle with their clients. Mm-hmm. I think they also struggle with as individuals with mm-hmm. their own goals. And mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough information and expertise like that you have out there to help people. So it's just, I think that's why it's, you know, really taken well, you know, since you've been able to like, even before you started speaking at Lyft, originally it was because you had traveled to Australia with Tony, right? Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
And and you spoke at one of his workshops, and that's kind of what got everything started. So, I mean, I think that's why it's just kind of like just taken off. And
I think that in the beginning when, you know, Tony would say things to me like, you should write an article. Like, people want to hear this or read this. And then I would write him a little article and he'd be like, people love it. You know, it kind of is like when your mom sends you a Valentine's Day card, it's like, well, of course you're going to say that. Like, you're into me. So when he said, like, I really think like you and Artemis like should like do something together, I was like, don't say that to her. Like, she's going to be like, who the hell is Lisa Lewis? You know,
when actually my response was like, F yeah.
So I think in the beginning I thought maybe he's seeing these dots connect and this need in the industry because he knows me and he cares about me and because of how we communicate about what goes on in this field. And so just to see like me being out there met with such enthusiasm and really to see that like people want to talk about this topic. Like Artemis mentioned, a lot of trainers or people in the industry who struggle with these kind of topics and are looking for content or looking ways to apply psychology to what they're doing. It's so awesome.
Well, I was going to ask you guys as well, you know, each individually, but you guys have done a couple of these workshops now. And, you know, as someone from the outside, I'd really be fascinated to see. And again, you guys are predominantly, you know, talking to, you know, the female population. Mm-hmm. For you guys, are there any patterns in terms of like the questions that you guys are getting or the things that, you know, the female coaches and the female participants are wanting to hear more about to get a better, you know, temperature of what their concerns are that potentially, you know, again, this is kind of like what I was talking with Julie about and what we've talked about previously is, you know, sometimes for, let's be real, guys, like the male coaches, we don't really understand, you know, the thought process of our female clients or female athletes and stuff like that. So I'd be curious to see if you guys did have any trends when it came to that stuff. Artemis, did you have any?
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that comes to mind is, Lisa, I don't know if you probably remember from the Boston Lyft workshop last year that when we were doing scripting and there was one woman who was talking about her pull-up and what goes through her mind when she goes to do a pull-up. And I think what was common was with the pull-up, because when she was talking about her script, there were a couple of other women at the workshop who could completely identify with what she was saying. Mm-hmm. And she already had her insecurities about doing this lift. And she trained in a commercial gym. and just being in a commercial gym. And one of her big worries was going up to not even just having her own insecurities about the lift, but just her surroundings, about how that adds to her insecurities, and worrying about like who's going to be watching me, and am I going to have to, there going to be other people at the bar when I go up there. And I know there were a couple other women who could completely identify with that, who trained in commercial gyms. So just being exposed, I think, you know, that's one of the common themes I've seen with women, if they have to train in a commercial gym, or not only having to deal with their own internal insecurities, but then also having, you know, feeling exposed in this public space. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's,
you know, definitely like one theme I've seen.
Absolutely. And I think, from what I can see, there's kind of like two ends of a spectrum that have historically come to the lift workshop, at least the mindset ones that I've been a part of. One end is more like, I would say, a more novice lifter, like a woman who is interested in weightlifting. So she's drank a little bit of the Kool-Aid and she wants to know more. She's hungry for more. And so she's just kind of exposing herself to people like Artemis and other female lifters, and trying to learn more about how to get stronger. And so the mindset piece they want to focus on is getting themselves to the gym consistently, like really, and getting engaged with their goals, not feeling kind of put down by seeing like role models, people who are like, have years and years and years of experience of strength and lifting. And then I think there's this other sort of end of the spectrum of client who comes in, or person who comes to the workshop, which is somebody who like not only drinks the Kool-Aid, but is like scuba diving in a Kool-Aid of like weight training for women, and, you know, like knows how to lift.
Powerlifting,
like, yes. You know, or someone who's a trainer, or someone who is really all the way in. And I think some of the topics that they tend to bring up are either like working with their clients, or their mindset might be closer to like a perfectionistic mindset. So maybe they're beating themselves up. Like one example that comes to mind is like, I can't get past 14 pull-ups in a row.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, or not being able to identify with clients who are more novice and don't have really internalized motivation. And like, how do I communicate with those people when like, when my, you know, when my understanding or motivation about why they should be training is in a totally different place.
Yeah.
So those are two types I think I've seen at the workshops.
Yeah. And I know, and I know I just like laughed at the 14 pull-ups, and I shouldn't, because it's like, you have like, everyone has their own stuff that they're battling with. And that was completely legitimate for that person to be, that was her thing. So,
and she was able to laugh at it too. But I think to have a forum where you can talk about it, like you can say, this is something that's bugging me. I know that it's maybe a little extra or maybe perfectionistic, but it's getting under my skin. And just to create a space where you can brainstorm that a little bit and be able to laugh about it, and then maybe talk about strategies to move forward, even though you feel like you're at that roadblock, seems like it's very useful to people, and that they leave with actionable ideas to take back with them into the gym.
Yeah. And with that, like at the workshop, the women who are at the end of the spectrum where they're just getting into lifting and they're coming to the workshop so that they can try things that they haven't tried before in a safe space, and they can feel supported and they can feel empowered and they can get over that fear of trying those new things in that safe space. You know, that's the purpose of the workshop for the women who are on that end of the spectrum. And then for the women who are on the other end of the spectrum, you know, trying to get their 15th pull up, or there was one woman at the Maryland Lift Workshop, and she just had a bat. She got into powerlifting, and the back squat was her battle. So she had some things that she wanted to get over with the back squat, and just to be able to overcome those mental barriers so she could have success in her competitions. So for women who are on that end, the more advanced end of the spectrum, they come in so they're able to learn how, like you just said, Lisa, they have a safe space so they can talk about, you know, these higher level challenges that they're having, and or maybe these perfectionist level challenges that they're having, so that they can continue to move forward in their training and have success. So, yeah, it's very much on both ends about being a safe space that, so that you can deal with, you know, these women can overcome whatever it is that whatever challenges that they're having, mm-hmm. no matter what level they are.
Absolutely. And we have had several men like at the workshops. And I think it's good too for men to be in a female dominant fitness environment, because typically, mm-hmm. you know, historically, I think it's changing, but when women are in weight training settings or in lifting settings, they're the minority. So, you know, I think that it's a good experience for men to be in an environment where they're hearing what women are thinking about or how they're approaching lifting or sort of where they're at, and what it's like to be in that kind of climate, particularly if they're trainers and they're working with female clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think they learn how women are thinking, and they mm-hmm. where they otherwise probably wouldn't learn that. Because, you know, mm-hmm. there's definitely different thoughts that go through our minds, I think, than go through men's minds. Mm-hmm. And we've had some couples too come together, men mm-hmm. and women, which mm-hmm. has been really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, because I actually have a couple questions that I've written down since you guys brought up a couple things. And one of them is a complete shot in the dark. It might be complete BS, but the first one I think is a little bit more appropriate. How often does the topic of emotional eating come up in these workshops? Mm-hmm. Because I'm guessing, like, you know, this seems to be a topic that, you know, we're still kind of, you know, struggling to find a really good mm-hmm. solution, a real good what's the right word, the process of steps on how to, you know, help mm-hmm. People, whether it's males or females, with this. Lisa, has it come up rather often or not?
Yeah,
I feel like it's coming up a lot in general, mm-hmm. like in many different areas of my life, like writing, speaking, talking to trainers.
Well, it seems like also having the benefit of being, you know, predominantly, you know, female attendees could be a much safer environment to bring this stuff up as well, and having that like almost smaller group setting too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things that's been nice is there is kind of an ability to like form a connection, and people who are there often like know each other. So I don't know what Artemis thinks about this, but I do think that stuff comes up. I mean, the focus is definitely on lifting. Artemis speaks mm-hmm. a little bit to nutrition. I think, you know, when I bring up memories about that at workshops, I can think about maybe women pulling me to the side or following up with an email, mm-hmm. To kind of bring that topic up, because, I think even though it could be a safer place, I think a lot of women, and probably men too, if they overeat or eat for reasons other than hunger, feel shame around that, particularly when you get in a fitness setting where like a lot of people look fabulous on the outside, or a lot of people are talking overtly about like being consistent with their nutrition and being compliant with their plan. Mm-hmm. And so I think that people really beat the living shit out of themselves when it comes to food, which just exacerbates the problem. If they have an unhealthy relationship with food in the yeah. first place, I think it's a very prevalent topic right now. And coming from, I think I've mentioned like my previous life before earning my doctorate was as a substance abuse counselor. So coming from an addiction background, there's so much overlap. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, when people sometimes are eating, they're using food as a drug and not using it as sustenance for their body.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely comes up. And I think in the context of the LIFT workshop, we only have so many hours to get through the material we have planned out. So we're not able to go into depth about it. But I even remember last fall, Lisa, when you and I did that, we did a Periscope Q&A and mm-hmm. we had a question, and I remember you saying like it was directly related to eating, and you said okay, that would have to be like a whole other
show,
a whole other show. So it's just about having the time to do it. It would have to be something that's separate, like a half mm-hmm. day. We have carved out time at the retreat next mm-hmm. May in Arizona. We're going to have a nutrition roundtable. We'll have Julia there so she can talk about other things, because, you know, she does physique competition, you know, eating for that, and then eating mm-hmm. for powerlifting. And So, and, you know, Lisa will be there. So we have time dedicated to it at the retreat because it is a very important topic that does come up. We get questions, and just unfortunately for us, it's for the Lift workshop. It's just been a matter of we haven't had the time to cover it the way we need to cover it with people. Mm-hmm. But I know, Lisa, you've addressed it outside of that, you know, mm-hmm. on the side with people. So that's good.
Yeah. It'll be good to see, you know, what comes up at the retreat and how that adding that component, how that maybe enhances the whole product, the whole experience.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it goes hand in hand with mindset mm-hmm. for lifting. I mean,
yes,
it's a whole circle of everything needs to come together in a healthy manner. So it's they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, okay. We could definitely go a couple layers deeper in that, but I want to ask this other question too, because it's completely unrelated, but it will give me the opportunity to go back to this after I can think about those again for a little bit. But what am I trying to ask here? So I'm curious, like for the women that, and even for the men that are like attending these workshops, or just for the experience that you guys have helping other female coaches out there. Are there ever any questions from them about trying to like attract like the right clients and trying to, I don't know if this makes sense, like to try to like create, like you're almost creating like a persona. It's not like a wrestler, you know what I'm saying? It's not like a professional wrestler where you're creating like a persona that way, but like you're trying to put together like a set of videos and articles and, you know, present themselves as a coach in a specific way to try to, you know, attract, you know, women, like show them like, hey, like this is, you know, strong is awesome. And like, you know, this is like kind of what I'm selling you as a, you know, a personal trainer or as a strength coach or whatever. I'm kind of curious if any questions, and I did a terrible job asking that question, but hopefully that makes sense. Artemis, do you ever get like questions in the workshops about that? How to like almost, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
or interpret it any way you want.
Or even just trying to getting women to buy into the importance of building strength training and just being strong and really focusing on that over anything else. And it's that, you know, I think a lot of times when clients come to coaches, they don't know what they want, mm-hmm. but they know they want to feel good and they know that they want to build confidence. So as a coach, I think it's a coach's responsibility once that client comes on board is to help to make them feel comfortable and to feel successful every time that they meet. Even if it's just doing this like really simple things, you know, working towards their push-up or just, you know, working towards their pull-up and things, or just learning how to hinge, learning how to deadlift, like things like that, things that help them to feel empowered every time they come in, they meet with that person. And then with that, you know, building that self-efficacy, building that positivity that will help that client to want to come back and realize, okay, when I do these things, I feel good and I'm going to come back and I want to do it again. I want to keep feeling good. And, over time, it just, then if the client had ever had any preconceived notions of, you know, I'm getting into this because I want to lose 10 pounds or whatever it is. Over time, I see it over and over again, that tends to become less, and the aesthetic reasons tend to become less and less important. As long as the coach is doing their job and giving their client that positive reinforcement and helping that client feel comfortable and feel empowered and successful every time they meet. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
It does. And I was trying to think of what I was actually trying to ask, but I think, you know, the thing that was, or the thought that was in my mind was, you know, I have to imagine, and this is coming from someone that has not done personal training in a while. I've just been training like middle school athletes, but like you still see that in, you know, middle school girls as well. Like the thing that you can almost sell everyone on, whether it's males or females, is the idea that stronger is better. Like,
yeah,
it's and stronger is not bigger, but stronger is better. And stronger is something that can make your life drastically easier. And in terms of like literally making it easier by picking stuff up and like helping your friend move, like it will make life easier. But also, like in terms of confidence, like when you are stronger, like you are, you know, less, you know, less inclined to worry about walking down the street, you know what I'm saying? Or potentially, you know, being in certain situations, you have a little bit more confidence. Like, yeah, like I'm, you know, I'm stronger. It gives you a little bit of a little, what's the word? I'm like confidence is really it.
Well, I have a really good example. And this was actually this, I thought of this example because someone was asking a question about like young women and athletes on about the podcast. I forget.
Thank
what
you.
The
just
was.
Remind me. Oh my God.
But so yeah. This, we had these, well, before I get into the story, but you're always going to have that small percentage of women who that lifting isn't for them. Like they need to go do something else. Like they, you know, I've had female clients come to me and they've trained with kettlebells and they're just like, no, I don't want to do this. And then they go off and take bar classes or like Zumba's for them, or, you know, that you're always going to have that percentage that like lifting, that small percentage that lifting's not for them. And that's okay. You know, I think as long as you know that you've stayed true as a coach to what you want to do with your clients and you've done the best you can to help your clients feel good, then you have to let those people walk away, and that's okay. But this summer we had this family, this mom and her two daughters. Her oldest daughter is a sophomore in college and her youngest daughter is a junior in high school. And they trained with us this summer. And Michaela, the older one, she is a musician. So she's never really been great at sports. But she, no matter what, even that she's always had a very, her mom said she's always had like very good self-confidence pretty much. Like even if she wasn't like great at soccer, she would get out there and she would try it and do it. And she came in, so they came in, all of them came in to train with us this summer. And the younger one, Olivia, she does track. And she just wanted something to help keep her in shape off season and something different than just running all the time. She wanted to lift. And they came in the door and they loved kettlebell training. They loved pull-ups. And at the end of the summer, I was talking to their mom, and she told me that Michaela had – they just loved coming into Iron Body and just doing everything that we were doing. And they felt empowered by the lifts. And, Michaela, she's a musician. I think she plays violin. I can't remember, but anyhow, she told her mom she had started back up in school, and then she goes to BC and her mom live locally. So she was just at the house one day and then she went out for a run and she came in and she's like, Mom, she's like, I feel so great. She's like, I can, you know, just training at Iron Body and lifting, it helped me so much this summer. I can just go out for a run and not get tired. And she said, it really helped me to find my inner athlete. She's like, I've never really, that's what she said to her mom. She said, she's like, I found my inner athlete. So that is like just from someone who has never really been an athletic person, like just that one thing, this woman coming in, this young woman coming in who's a sophomore in college and just, you know, swinging kettlebells and working towards her pull up, it helps her to find her inner athlete. And that was the gem that did it for her. And then for her younger sister, Olivia, one day Olivia loved the pull-ups and she said, you know, I see the boys at school doing pull-ups in gym class all the time. And she said, I would love to be able to go back into the fall and just be able to walk up to the bar and do a pull-up. I said, well, that's going to be the goal that we're going to work towards this summer to help you to get that. Cause she was really, really close. And there was just that empowerment that came that she could just like, that she was kept looking to the future, to the fall, that in the fall she was going to be able to walk up to the bar at school in front of all the boys and do a pull-up and just walk away and be like, peace out, you know? So it's just like those little gems that help them to feel empowered. Mm-hmm. And their mom, we were talking about the whole, because we had a conversation about body image and how does she handle these, you know, these two young girls. They have such great self-confidence and you could tell that they are not battling with, you know, for me, for someone who I took ballet from a very young age and I dealt with a lot of different stuff that just affected my perception of my body. And you know, it trickled into my eating. I had, you know, some phases of disordered eating. They seemed to have a very healthy mindset. These two girls had a very healthy mindset around their body image and about coming in and just immediately taking to lifting. And so I was talking to their mom about it a little bit, and their mom is a nurse, and she said, you know, she's like, I've always just tried to keep them focused on what they can do. And their mom has just always been an amazing role model in that way, and about, you know, feeling positive about their capabilities, and really trying to steer them away from worrying about what their bodies look like and getting away from having challenges with their body image. And she said, you know, we actually, I won't offend anyone when I say this, but this is an internal joke that they had in their family. And she said, their mom said, you know, we anytime they start to kind of obsess about their body, we have this joke between the three of us that we say, you know, don't be dysmorphic, don't be body dysmorphic. And it just kind of snaps us all out of it and keeps us focused on the right things. Hmm. I think, you know, just to answer your question, I think those girls had those little things that were really important to them. Michaela to find her inner athlete, and Olivia to do her pull up. And then they're just really fortunate to have an amazing mother who is a really great role model. And the three of them seem like they have a good support system between each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's actually take a quick break so we can hear a word from our fantastic sponsors, if I have one, and then we'll be right back. We're back, and thank you so much for hanging out and listening to that chat about our sponsors. So now I want to get to some Facebook questions, because people brought it, especially like last minute. I always post these like 24 hours before the interviews, and sometimes people don't have the time to jump on there, but we had some great people like Julian and Drew, actually two really good friends of mine, chimed in on this topic. So I'm going to go to the first one from Julian. For Artemis, how is she planning her move, which we can get into, and what is her best elevator pitch as to why women should not be afraid to lift, something that we just hit on before the break? For Elisa, she talked about perfectionism and the two types, striving and reflective. Mm-hmm. For those clients that are always looking back and are negative on themselves and it's affecting their progress, what strategies or exercises may be helpful to help them? Can't wait to listen. So I guess who wants to, we'll toss it up. Who wants to take this question? Lisa, take the question.
Lisa, you go.
I'm happy to jump in. The question about perfectionism, I like, because I had just written an article about that. And that article was based on an email that a woman sent me. And I included some of what she had in her email there, which led me to want to learn more about kind of research and perfectionism, because there is quite a bit of qualitative research on the nature of perfectionism, because as a lot of us know, there's some really good benefits to having perfectionistic tendencies, because it really drives us or pushes us to want to exceed and achieve at very high levels. But then there's an ugly side of it too. So having perfectionistic strivings means that you're focused on your goals and you're focused on moving forward and how to do well at future competitions or performances. And people who have that kind of lens on when they're thinking about their training tend to enjoy training more. They tend to move forward or progress in their training effectively, and really benefit the most from having perfectionistic tendencies. I think the word that was used in the question is perfectionistic reflections. And I like that, the way that question asker is utilizing that word, because it really is kind of looking backwards and reflecting on past performance. I think in the literature, it's called perfectionistic concerns. And really the idea there is like worrying about the past. So beating yourself up about something that wasn't exactly right, or kind of replaying something over and over and over again in your mind, and like how you should have done it differently, how you could have done it differently, how you messed it up. beating yourself up about things. So the lens is sort of different because you're looking backwards instead of forwards. And people who get wrapped up in that and get stuck there beating themselves up about the past tend to have a harder time moving towards their goals. They tend to enjoy the whatever activity they're engaging in less. And they tend to actually have more trouble with anxiety or getting a mood that's like irritable or sort of down and a burning out in whatever activity they're doing. So just to give some background to that question that, you know, I think what the question asker is asking, like, what do you do for people who are overly focused on what's happened? And you have to help them switch their lens, which can be difficult, especially, you know, when you take into account how many years they may have been practicing that focus. So if you're dealing with somebody in their 20s or their 30s or their 40s, maybe they've been doing that for a decade. So if you're their trainer and you've been working with them for six sessions, you've had 6 hours of practice of trying to stop a thought process that person has been practicing on a daily basis for decades. Like, you are no match for that level of over-focus and practice. So one thing to keep in mind is you can start to try to intervene with that thought process and you can make recommendations, but don't have an expectation that you're going to have overnight change. Like, the moment you say, like, hey, you know, you're really like reflecting too much on the past and let's strive for the future, they're not going to just snap out of it. You know, particularly if they're an older client or somebody who's really been utilizing that strategy for a long period of time. So I think slow and steady really wins the race. And you want to think about every time you say something to a client, every time you're with a client, you are demonstrating shoulds. You are showing that client how they should be thinking, how they should be acting. And they're watching you. They're absorbing all of that. Even if you don't see immediate change, you might give a client feedback or say something to them in the moment that maybe in that session they won't absorb. They'll just stick with whatever mindset they're in. But that night or that weekend, they're going to consider that. And the next time they come in, when you say something similar, you're reinforcing that. And so I think sometimes for trainers, you got to be patient. And don't be afraid to be transparent and say, you know, I noticed that you're really like focusing on something that was imperfect last week or something that didn't go exactly right. And you're not paying attention to the progress that you are making. And I just want to bring your attention to that because that's what's going to help you to improve. And just being very direct about that and then not getting too overly connected to what the immediate feedback is going to be. You know, if your client says, yeah, whatever, you don't need to get attached to that and disgruntled by that and feel like that was a failure because you're planting a seed that I think has long-term effects, particularly when you're repeating that kind of message over and over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they have to relearn a whole new habit.
Yes.
Right.
And then, you know, with that too, it's like, I think it's a Precision Nutrition. They have like a clean slate policy. It's like if you slip up, if you go back, like you were just talking about that person focusing on what they would have focused on in the past, on just like the, you know, and being perfect at something. It's allowing them to like to do that, to make a mistake and not move forward and take a step back and forgive themselves and just be like, it's okay, but let's like look forward and you know, don't beat yourself up about it. And
yeah,
well, I can even say, like, you know personally, that was a thing that I still struggle with whenever I make a, I still use like the term like a bad eating choice, that it is kind of like, maybe I can't remember if I brought this or came up with this or someone else did, but it's like if you're like you live in a house and you're putting something up on the wall and you like hit the nail and like you bend the nail in the wrong way, so you just burn the house down. Like it's a really bad way to kind of think about this stuff, but you know, basically making a bad food choice and like saying, all right, well, I guess that's it for the day. So I guess I'm going to say yes to whatever, you know, other crap is going to come up in terms of options and stuff like that. So yeah, that stuff is huge, and you know, PN does a great job with all that stuff as well. They always deserve shout outs. Okay. I don't know how it is. I don't watch MTV, guys. I don't know what they say today.
And I think a really important phrase that Lisa said is that, you know, focus more on what you are accomplishing, on mm-hmm. what you are. Like, that is huge. I think just as humans, we don't do that enough. I think we focus mm-hmm. on everything we haven't done or we haven't done well. And it's really about changing, just learning how to change your mindset to focus on what you have completed, what you have gotten done, what you have accomplished, what progress you are making, and focusing on that. And that is that's a positive chain of events. You know, if you mm-hmm. keep focusing on that, that's just going to keep leading you to progress and advance and change. And so that's like a huge phrase to repeat to yourself in your head. If you're someone who, and I'm guilty of it, focus, oh, I didn't get this done today or that done today, or I didn't do that as well as I did last week or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have 15 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
I don't. I actually have a 2 o'clock meeting.
Okay, I'm sorry. So what we'll do is, Lisa, I'm going to hang up on you now.
Okay.
and I thank you so much for your time. And again, don't forget, if you somehow missed the previous two episodes that were badass, got probably some of the best response for episodes that I've done this year, go back and listen to the last two episodes that I did with Lisa. They're blowing up, and just incredible wealth of information in those two. And the door is always open to virtually come into my Skype chat room to talk. But thank you so much, Lisa,
for
coming back on.
Bye, Lisa. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, we're back again. That's about as many breaks I've ever done in the FitCast in the last 10 years. But we are back with Artemis. And I wanted to bring up, and hopefully I didn't just lose my train of thought. Maybe I just did. Oh, wait. Maybe what I'm going to do is... No, I got it back. Okay. So I want to ask you this, because I think this may be something that comes up in these workshops as well, but I'd love to just get your thoughts on it either way, is like, there is no lack of opinions in the fitness industry right now. There are tons of fitness professionals, and you can have lots of contradictory views on, you know, how to on solutions on how to go about, you know, getting to whatever goal that you're trying to attain. So I was curious if in these workshops or just in the discussions that you've had in general, if people have come up to you and said, like, now I think like one of the biggest problems that I have is there's so many voices, there's so many people that are telling me, you know, different ways to try to reach this specific goal that I don't know which one to follow, or I sometimes get distracted because then there's another person that, you know, posts on Facebook or writes an article or does an Instagram thing of mm-hmm. a completely different way of going about this. Just any of your thoughts on that in general?
I think that's related to having too many goals. Like, you know how Dan John always says, like, keep the goal.
Right.
I think it's a little bit related to that. One, keep the goal. Cause I think more I see, not that people see that there are different ways to try and achieve that one goal that they are trying to work towards, but it's more that they have too many goals. So it's different than what the question that you asked, but if they're, you know, if it is that they are part of this workshop, we do programming at the end. Mm-hmm. So part of them is helping them if they have too many different paths that they're trying to follow to reach that end state, it's to help them to find that path, that one path, and stay with it mm-hmm. for a little while until they start to see some progress, and just give them a timeline to allow them to see that progress before they switch things up. So giving them that guidance in that way. I do see that a lot too with people, is that they have one goal and they're trying to reach it and they're not patient enough with the particular path that they're following. And so they try to get other information and pull that in or try a different program or try a different path. And you're never going to have success if you don't just stick with something for a little while and have some patience and see if it works.
I wonder if that's just like a society we've hit peak impatience.
Yeah,
well, for real. Like, I think, you know, for a lot of us, like, we're trying to get to wherever we're, like, you get stuck in traffic. Like, why does it take so long for this airplane to take off? Why does it take so long to lose 10 pounds? Why can't I do 25 chin-ups? Like, that kind of stuff. Like, why is it taking so long to get there? And that's, maybe what we need to practice even more is patience.
And you don't need to give something that long. I mean, you know, within 6 weeks if something is not working, you know, like, and that's, it seems like a long time, but it's really not, you know? So I usually just recommend to people, like, give it 6 weeks, take some training notes to make sure that you can, like, look back to week one when you're at week six to see what kind of, cause you're going to have your bad day, your bad training days, your good training days. So just making sure that you can track that progress. Mm. And then at that time, make the decision. And then, you know, for the people I was thinking about people who just have too many goals. Cause there was a woman at our Maryland Lift workshop that she just had, like, she wanted to do too many things. And I was like, okay, what's, like, your number one priority? Like, let's nail that down, because you can't have, like, three different goals. You
awesome.
Know?
Yeah.
So, just helping her to do that. So part of the workshop is that too, just helping people just stay focused on what they really want to do for, like, short term, and then maybe a little bit longer term after they complete that short term goal.
I wanted to ask you this as well, and you may not have an answer for me just yet, but this is, again, I think I was talking with Julie about this. Like, I think the event itself is going to have so much incredible information. I know for this particular event, it is closed off for women specifically, mm-hmm. closed to women, or closed. It's for exclusively for women is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Do you guys have any plans to potentially film it and share the content afterwards? Or is that something that's not in the works right now?
We haven't talked about that. So I'm sure we'll film some segments of it. I do like to try to do that to get the information out there. But yeah, we haven't talked about that. So I will have to run that by Lisa and Julia. I think if anything, I don't think we'll film, like, the whole thing,
right.
But we'll probably, maybe we'll be able to get some segments out there to people so they can kind of get a taste of what we're doing.
And I guess that we had one more question. You also partially hit on it, I believe, mm-hmm. earlier before the question from Drew, but I don't know if there was anything else that you wanted to follow up on that. I don't know if you want, would you like me to read again?
Oh, is that about
young female athletes?
Yeah. So I just goes back to just helping those. I think I know Julia responded to it on Facebook, and she talked about having them focus on just the basics, which I think is really important. I completely agree with that. Just bringing them in, having them focus on the basics and help them to learn how to do the basics really, really well, so that every time that they come in, they feel great. They feel strong. They feel successful. They feel empowered. They build that self-efficacy. And then, you know, just like Michaela, they find their inner athlete. And I think that's what keeps them coming back for more. And that's the most important thing you can do.
Awesome. I can't believe it's already October. So you guys it's in May, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's May 5th to the 7th.
Crap. All right. And people are already filling up spots. So, like, you guys need to make sure and I was talking about this with the show that we did with Julia. So hopefully, by the time that you listen to this, it might actually be sold out. I hope it's not, because I hope the audience can have, like, a second chance if somehow they missed the previous episode or whatever. But the thing that I was kind of mentioning earlier, and what I mentioned with Julia as well in the previous episode, is, like, you know, the opportunities like this do not come along all the time, especially in a small, you know, a small numbered event like this. Like, there's only, you said there was 40 spots, right?
30
spots. So, oh my God.
26 left. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I'm really excited because, you know, Julie and I together, we're going to teach a combined, you know, she'll be focusing on barbell lifts, and I'll be focusing on kettlebell lifts, and we're going to teach the body weight lifts together. And, you know, Lisa will take, she'll cover the mindset component. But Lisa and I mean, not Lisa, Julie and I are going to teach combined kettlebell and barbell programming. So, because that is a question that I get a lot from people, and I have people who come to me to do a combined barbell and kettlebell program. Mm-hmm. So that's something that Julie and I will cover together at the retreat, which I think is going to be really good information for people. It's going to help them a lot.
That is so rad. I'm really pumped to see that you guys are putting this together, and I hope, you know, the women that are listening, if there are still spots available, like, jump on that, because especially if there's still early bird spots available, like if you're listening to this before November 30th, get over to that website, because the thing that I always do is, you know, they have like early bird specials, and you miss out on that, you're going to kick yourself in the butt, because, you know, it's still going to be worth going, but you could have saved yourself a little bit of cash, and that money could have gone to, I don't know, like, you could buy buy some new headphones or something, buy something that's going to make your life better. I don't know. Donate it to charity.
I know it's far out, but we wanted, you know, we figured people would be traveling for it. So we just wanted to make sure.
You got to plan ahead.
Yeah. That people could do that. So,
and there's a water slide there. There's a water slide. Yeah, there's two water slides, actually. And there's a great taco place down the street.
I'm really excited to go and check out the resort next week. It's going to be really cool. And my elevator pitch for wanting to getting women to lift is there's no better feeling than feeling strong and capable and independent. And once you start to get a taste of what it's like to feel strong and that you are self-sufficient in that way, you want more of it. And that's it. And you just have to get a little taste of it, and you're definitely going to come back for more.
Love it. You guys go sign up if you haven't already, or go check it out. And I was mentioning before that I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Artemis, but I believe the best place and the easiest place for people to go, and this way they can also check out your website, ironbodybyartemis.com, and then you can go to the upcoming workshops tab at the top, scroll down, and then you get the I Am Not Afraid to Lift the Retreat tab, and that will give you all the information that you need. It's May 5th to May 7th in Arizona at the Arizona Grand Resort and Spa. It's very close, like 10-minute drive from the airport. It's super close to the airport. And like I said, you have three incredible speakers there. You have an incredible resort. You have two water slides, a lazy river, and a taco place.
Just go for the
place.
Water slides.
I only bring that up because we did like a 2-day perform better thing there. And what I did, like, at lunch, any break, like when they did Q&As after like lectures, I had a bathing suit on the whole time. Like, I was filming stuff, but I had a bathing suit on so I could run, because like the big lecture room is maybe like a 2-minute walk from the water park, and then you just jump, you do a couple of trips down the water slide, and then you go back in. You'll dry, it's so warm, you'll dry up
right
before
away.
You go back into the talks, and you'll be good to go.
Yep, that sounds great. Do you remember slip and slides? Do they still have those things?
Yeah, I saw. I mean,
it just made me think of slip and slides.
The cool thing, I remember the slip and slide theme song. It's like, you run, you jump, you slip and slide, or something like that. But the new thing is gigantic slip and slides that are city. I think they did it in Boston last year. They actually like closed down a street, and something with like a little bit, as my dog starts freaking out, a little bit of a hill, and they make it like super long and super wide, so like hundreds of people can use it at once.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Oh my God. Well, so, that sounds like fun though.
It I didn't get to go, but it was fun. I had to work. All right, guys. Well, I think that is where we will end today's episode. But again, lots of things to think about, lots of stuff to, in terms of action that you can take. And Artemis, it was great to get you back on the show and catch up.
Thanks for having
again.
Me. It was fun.
Thank you guys for, again, putting on this event and giving me the opportunity to talk to, you know, three of the best people in this industry that I know. So thank you for that as well. And thank you to the audience for tuning in to this episode. Extra special thank you to the patrons that help support this show and help me make it every single week at patreon.com/thefitcast. There you can support the show on a per episode basis. Some superstars doing, you know, $2, $3, even $5. We have a couple people doing even $10 per episode. Thank you so much for helping me continue to produce this podcast every single week, going into, you know, 400 plus episodes. Just been a ridiculous ride, and thank you so much to everyone that does support the show. It means so much for you voting with your dollar. Any Artemis, anything else that people should keep an eye out for before we do wrap up?
Lisa and I have our Lift Boston workshop on November 6th at Tony Gentilcore's place at Core.
Nice. And
so that, and that'll probably be the last East Coast lift I'm going to do in a while because I'm moving to Vegas. So,
that's right.
Eric just took a job with Cirque du Soleil. He's going to work. He'll be a head therapist for their show Zoomanity. We're super excited. I mean, it's going to be a complete change, and I am excited that, you know, I just over the past couple of years, my career has kind of led me to more teaching workshops and speaking and writing and my online clients. So now that we're closing Iron Body Studios and moving out there to do that, I'm going to be able to do that a lot more. So I'm super excited. And I'm super excited to kind of take the West Coast now and cover the West Coast with my Lift workshop because I haven't had too much of a chance to do that. So that's going to be super excited and we'll get super I must be super excited. I'm super excited about that. And we have to get Lisa. We're going to get Lisa to come out there. So Lisa and Tony are already making plans to come out to Vegas. So
I wonder if Tony's ever been to Vegas.
She has. And he's even seen the show Zoomanity. So the whole story behind it that he was telling us about that. Yeah. But yeah, he said he's been out there.
I'm sure he knows of all the great, you know, art movie theaters out there too. So he can catch a movie that no one has heard about.
What did he tell us to go? He was like, "Oh, you guys got to go check out the Hoover Dam."
Tony is 75 years old. I don't know if you've met Tony Gentilcore, but he is
like, what?
A steel spine for being able to deadlift as much as he does at the age of 75. I think he's 76 this year, but whatever.
It's his inner nerd.
God.
Check out the Hoover Dam.
He's totally, you know, what is he? He's Clark Griswold. That's what he is. That's what he's turning into. He's going to have the Christmas lights up and he's going to, you know, go to Europe and crazy antics will happen. So I'm rambling though because I'm talking a lot. So I apologize for that. But again, thank you so much to everyone that is tuned in. Thank you, Artemis. And we will see you next time. Take care.